in this week after Easter Sunday. I have a few loose ends I'd like to tie up today, including some recommendations for further reading. Stay tuned. Hello, friends. Pastor Tim Westermeyer here, Senior Pastor of St. Philip the Deacon in the western suburbs of Minneapolis. Good to be with you as always, and happy Easter. We are taping this the week after Easter, I guess I should say. We took last week off for Holy Week, so I hope you all had a wonderful time with family and friends for the Easter holiday. I actually, just before coming to tape this, I was having a conversation over coffee with someone I've known now for 8 or 10 years, who I was introduced to, a member of a family here at the church. And I'm thinking of that because my Easter sermon was based on a conversation I had many years ago, 30 years ago or so. And by the way, I guess as we've done before, maybe we'll link to my Easter sermon here in case you missed that and if you're interested in listening to it. And I'm just struck by framing my Easter sermon around a conversation I had a long time ago and then having a conversation just before coming here, I'm struck by how much of ministry is precisely that, one-on-one discussions, conversations about what's going on in people's lives, and what a joy and a privilege it is for me to have those conversations. So partially, I'm thinking about that and just want to remind you, if you're interested in a conversation like that with me or one of our other pastors, please reach out. We would always love to do that. You're always, of course, also welcome to reach out by email. You can always comment on these episodes as well. But conversations, discussions, back and forth about our faith, it's really important as we each grow and learn and figure out how to do this thing called life. So I guess I'm celebrating the opportunity to do that and making an invitation for you to also have those conversations if you're interested. So that's one thought. And then I wanted to, a couple of other thoughts related to Easter. I'm sort of feel like I'm tying up with some loose ends. A few episodes ago, I made some recommendations about books. I'm going to lift up three books that are all in different ways related to Easter and the resurrection, in case you're interested in kind of pursuing that during this Easter season. Easter, of course, is the longest season of the church year. Appropriately, it's 50 days, concluding with Pentecost, the festival of Pentecost. So the first book I'll mention is one I've mentioned many, many times, The Man Born to Be King. It's 12 plays written for BBC Radio by Dorothy Sayers. Again, I've talked about this before. I think she does as good a job as anyone at bringing those characters to life. And I've talked about how important doing that is so that we don't think of the Bible as just sort of cardboard cutout caricatures who have nothing to do with us. These are real live human beings with motivations, with reasons for doing what they did, which, by the way, I talk about in my sermon at Easter, and I'm going to actually have a comment about that in a second. So that's one thing that I would always recommend. The other, or the second of three, is actually a book that was used as a resource for Dorothy Sayers as she was preparing those 12 plays. It's called Who Moved the Stone? A Skeptic Looks at the Death and Resurrection of Christ. It's by Frank Morrison. This particular edition has a foreword by Lee Strobel. And I'm not going to find it now, but I think Frank Morrison was actually the pen name for someone who, strangely enough, was an advertising executive in mid-20th century England. And what he did is he set out to write a book disproving the resurrection and started doing a deep dive and a lot of research into it, and he discovered that he could not write that book because the evidence was so overwhelming in support of the resurrection that he ended up feeling compelled to write a different book entirely. So again, Who Moved the Stone? A Skeptic Looks at the Death and Resurrection of Christ. And again, Dorothy Sayers ended up using this. She acknowledges it in her introduction to those plays. And it's really, really good. I've read it multiple times. And then the last one, of course, there's way more where this came from, is called The Case for Jesus. This is a much more recent book, The Biblical and Historical Evidence for Christ. It's by a gentleman named Brant Petrie. And it's interesting, I was just, as I do every year at Easter and Christmas, I was sort of paying attention to what's on YouTube, what the specials are about, you know, interviews with people about what really happened at Easter. And boy, one of the very well-known supposed expert just this year was spouting kind of hypotheses and theories about what happened, which Brant Petrie does a really good job of correcting that viewpoint in this book. And so I was glad to have just read this. And it's interesting just how persistent some of those, that misinformation is at this time of year. And I would just encourage you always, if you're hearing those kind of things, to do your research, right? Because it turns out, and again, this was part of my message at Easter, it turns out the evidence for what happened at Easter and the resurrection of Jesus, in my assessment at least, and the assessment of many other people smarter than me, is overwhelmingly powerful and very difficult to explain if it didn't happen the way the Bible says it happened. So, which brings me maybe to the last point I want to make today. You know, with every sermon that I preach, there's content that goes into the sermon, that obviously. There's a sort of arrangement of that content. There's, you know, figuring out how to present it. But there's always a whole lot of stuff that ends up, to use the movie imagery, on the cutting room floor. And that was certainly true this Easter. There were a number of things I sort of wished I had the time to say that I didn't, just to make the sermon, you know, not excessively long. One of those things, and I'm just going to mention one, is a relatively well-known quote by a gentleman named Charles Colson. I don't know if that name means anything to you. He was a special advisor, I think, to Richard Nixon in the wake of the Watergate scandal. Maybe he was working with Nixon before that. Before then, he was an attorney. He ended up, I think, being the first person to go to prison as a result of Watergate. And while in prison, after he was out of prison, I think he set up a very famous nonprofit called the Prison Fellowship, and he became a very active Christian. One of the quotes I thought about using that was related to my theme at Easter, which I didn't, is the one I'm about to share from Colson, which, part of my sermon was the conversation I was recounting with someone telling me 30 years ago that what really happened, you know, was that the disciples made it all up. And In a couple of ways, I try to, you know, reframe that in my message at Easter. But here's what Charles Colson says about that same thesis, that it was all a lie. This is, again, Charles Colson. "I know the resurrection is a fact, and Watergate proved it to me. How? Because the disciples testified that they had seen Jesus raised from the dead. Then they proclaimed that truth for decades, never once denying it. Everyone was beaten, tortured, stoned, and put in prison. They would not have endured that if it weren't true." And then he goes on to sort of share his experience from Watergate. He says, "Watergate embroiled 12 of the most powerful men in the world, and they couldn't keep a lie for 3 weeks. You're telling me the apostles could keep a lie for decades? Absolutely impossible." I love that quote. Again, it gets at all of this stuff I was talking about, the motivation, the psychology, what really was driving these characters. And in my estimation, and I'm happy to take your comments here, there is no way those disciples made this up and stuck with that story for the remainder of their lives, all the while being beaten, tortured, imprisoned, and killed. It doesn't make any sense whatsoever. So, again, I just felt like a few, wrapping up a few things after Easter. We've got 50 days of Easter now, so I have a feeling we'll talk about it some more in the weeks to come. But I do wish you all a blessed Easter, a blessed Easter season. It's good to be back with you. As always, if you have questions, please include them in the comments below. And until next time, also as always, be well, stay in touch, and God bless.